Jones and Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say. About family,
women,
philosophy,
politics,
history,
people,
money,
pop culture,
kids,
fighting,
business,
life.
Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, we've been meaning to talk to you about your lack of social activism. Why so lazy? And are brands talking your daughter into being a slut?
This is Jones and Mike.
You make me sick. You're absolutely sick to my stomach.
Well, how is this different than any week previous?
No, there are weeks I dig you, and then there are weeks like this, where I can't even stand. I'm glad I can't see you right now, because I can't stand to look at your layered outfit.
I don't know why you make such a big deal about this.
About what? About your layered outfits?
You always try to peg me in this, like, oh, look at this little poncy guy in his outfit. But you're always the one, I never think about what I'm wearing, and you're always the one that's focused on it. It's kind of weird.
It's your look. You have your uniform on today, your layered Jones uniform. But that's not why hate isn't the right word. Disgusted by you. We had this date circled 6 months ago. 6 months ago. 6 months ago, the UFC announced the biggest card of all time.
Oh, come on.
A card so big that they broke tradition. Normally, the higher weight class takes center stage as the main event. This one is so big that the championship fight between my guy with the greatest UFC name of all time, Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold is his name. I haven't seen his birth certificate, but I have every reason to believe his birth certificate says Luke Rockhold. And he's an MMA fighter.
You are in love with him.
He's fighting your fave.
Not
who I think you
fave.
Have a bro crush on.
No.
Chris Weidman.
I like Chris Weidman.
Prediction.
He's no Uriah Faber.
Prediction. I'm going Rockhold.
I'm going Weidman.
Fine. And then the main event after that, and then before that is Jacare Souza and Yoel Romero.
Yes.
Oh, that should have been a main event on any other card. That would be a main event. It's
they have
not even a co-main
main
event
tonight.
Yes.
Three.
Yes. And Gunnar Nelson is fighting against Damian Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Good fight. And then the main event, Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo. And so when that was announced, I just put it in my mental Rolodex, watching that with Jones. Violence, that's ultra uber violence, that's with Jones. And now you're all dudded up in your layered Jones uniform because you're going to some trendy restaurant with an old friend, admittedly. But who's the older friend?
You are.
Me. So I get short shrift on the biggest night of the year for violence. Maybe you're all violenced out. Maybe that's it.
That's not true. Don't you dare. No, it's just simply a matter of location.
Yeah.
Evan has moved away to Texas, my friend who I'm seeing tonight.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't seen her in like almost a year and a half.
So you could Skype with her. She's lovely.
Come on. Come on.
But and you go out for they'll be out until 2 in the morning. You go and see her at midnight.
Oh, come on. You can't do that. Then it makes that person, you're a complete afterthought.
No.
Oh my God, I haven't seen you in a year and a half. You've come in from out of state, but I had to watch this sporting event.
No, not just any
sporting
event.
Here's the thing.
There may never be a card like this again.
Why? Oh, come on. Yes, there will. Maybe not for a few years.
There's never been a card like this.
I don't know about that. No, UFC 100 had 3 championship fights in one night.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you go on this one. You could have. There are things you could have done.
Why don't you have TiVo?
That's beside the point. That really is beside the point. That's a lifestyle choice. It's a financial choice, but it's a lifestyle choice. I think that I just don't think it would be good for me to have that much nonsense at my disposal. I like that I miss some nonsense. It keeps me it keeps me grounded.
Well, do you have a VCR? Could you tape it?
No.
Is there any way of recording this?
I will be watching this on my own, and fine. You enjoy your wine and your cheese with your pals, with your highfalutin layered outfit wearing pals, and I'll be watching the gore.
Because I'm a t-shirt and jeans guy.
So my theory on this is that you're violenced out. You really, you have a capacity, stunningly, you have a capacity for taking in violence because you've been surrounded by the protests downtown all week. And maybe that's it. Maybe you're like, oh my God, I can't handle this anymore. I just want a night of, you know, good buds and red wine and layered outfits. And I don't want to have anything to do with violence for one night. Does that hold water?
I will say that I don't think that's it. No, I don't think that's it. But I will say part of, you know, I like protests. Like, I like going to see them and, like, the energy of it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that
famous protest watcher.
I am.
Like, in the Civil War, they would, like, go up on a hill and watch a battle. And watch war.
Right, yes. Exactly.
You like to do the same thing only with protests.
I'm a protest voyeur.
You grab your parasol and you go to a top of a high hill of the Petcoke mound and you watch the protest unfold.
Yes. So, but with that said, one of the things that I like about a good protest is when there's that sense that it could boil over.
Yeah,
makes it good.
There's a tension.
Yeah. Now, so when I see a protest, once I see people with like the Guy Fawkes masks, that's when I check out. They're the worst because there's no ounce of tension. They're haunting looking masks, and you would think, oh, something's going to break. But they never do. And anyone who's in those masks, they seem really not to know what's going on. It's revolution for revolution's sake. They don't know what they're talking about. But when you see the people, like the protests have been going on down in the city.
Over the Laquan McDonald.
Yeah, there's this sense that something could boil over. So there's that kind of excitement. So maybe there could be just an internal fatiguing point because I've been around that kind of boiler point for the whole week.
Yeah.
But if I wasn't meeting friends for dinner tonight, I'm pretty sure I'd be watching UFC 194.
All right. 194. See, that's how out of touch you are.
Oh, is it 190? It's not one. Is it 195?
194.
What is it?
You're dead to me.
Well, what is it?
So the dudes you just brought up something interesting. The guys who look the most menacing, because we have a theory with UFC fighters that has proven out time and time again. When the dude comes in all tatted up, tattoos on his face.
Oh, they're always the worst.
Green mohawk. The more menacing they look, the harder they fall. So the guys with the Guy Fawkes masks at these protests, you've determined they're the least menacing ultimately.
Completely.
They never lob a Molotov cocktail. They never have... Because the mask impedes their speech, they never have any good slogans.
They don't even know what they're protesting. They're just like angry students from Columbia College. That's it.
They're like you. They're like, hey, man, whenever there's a protest, I just grab my... I have my Guy Fawkes mask in the back of my my Mini Cooper, and I just roll in and I do my thing.
Right.
The protests this week, they're like right outside your office, right? You can hear this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been going on all week. 16 shots too many.
I thought we all had agreed that that's true. We agree with that. So what are the protests about?
Well, I think I'm getting a sense they want a larger call to action with the, I think obviously the... police chief got canned.
Yeah.
I think now the big thing is calling for Alvarez's head and Emmanuel's head. So I think that's really keeping the people motivated. Because where I work, there's constantly protests, but they peter out after a matter of hours. This has been consistent where it's been coming up day after day after day. So
And this week, Rahm cried to keep his job. He addressed the city council. Here's the things I'm going to do to stop this from happening again. It seems to me you hire a police chief and you have a state's attorney, not that he can control that, and they just need to do their jobs. I don't think you need any task forces. You don't have to study anything. You just need people to like, oh, okay, oh, I can see what happened there. Egregious. I can't believe my officers didn't arrest that officer. Clearly a psychopath. I think it's pretty simple what has to happen.
And it doesn't involve tears?
No, no, and that just exacerbates the problem for me. But I'm not a layered suit-wearing kind of guy like you.
Oh, yeah? And that's why you don't know that UFC 194 is the Conor McGregor-Jose Aldo fight.
Yes, the one tonight. Yes, yeah. I know that. You probably like sniveling politicians. More on social activism next. Jones and Mike.
Have you ever listened to a radio show and thought, I could do better than that? Who hasn't? But have you ever thought about actually doing your own show? Now that seems a little more daunting for most people. Hosting your own show helps spread the word about you and your expertise, your business, product or service, charity, or any organization at all. When you have your own show, people listen to you, get the credibility, authority, and visibility you deserve. Chicago Pod Show has the studios, equipment, people, and experience to help you launch your own show almost instantly. Host a show that's heard 24/7 on iTunes, YouTube, mobile apps, websites, or even on the radio. Chicago Pod Show does it all for you. All you have to do is be the star or the expert you already are. Find out how easy getting your own soapbox can be. Visit ChicagoPodShow.com or call 312-725-8017. ChicagoPodShow.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at JonesandMike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
It's Jones and Mike. I don't understand why, if you're at a protest, and you're like an observer. You're like a UN observer to make sure, like when Jimmy Carter goes and when he's not building houses selflessly, he used to be like an election watcher. He would go to like to Nicaragua and make sure that the election was fair. It was like, what? You're like a protest watcher where you want to make sure that it's. But you're looking for the tension. You want to see if they like. Bum rush Macy's and jump on the cosmetic counter and stuff, which seems like I don't know what that has to do with anything, but if that makes you feel better, go for it. You're looking for that kind of like, I want it to boil over.
I don't even necessarily want it to boil over. I like kind of seeing if that protest has that potential, and you can kind of feel that in the air, like the energy of it, like something's happening.
It's crackling.
It's crackling. I think I like that crackling feeling. But
why don't you just join in?
That's the thing that I was thinking about this week. Like, what does it say about me or about us?
Uh-oh.
In general, I've just been thinking, all right, I don't participate in any protests. I don't have an active charitable group I support. I don't really have...
You're not in the Pitbull game anymore?
Well, that was like one thing. That was the one thing that was like a bummer. Where I live, there's a couple blocks. There's like an animal cruelty place, but I guess they get so many volunteer applicants, like they never call you back.
People, like, we have a 4-human-to-dog ratio maximum here.
Right.
So some of you have to leave, especially if you're wearing layered clothing.
Why do you make such a big deal about the layered clothing? It's unbelievable.
So there's so many people you felt like I'm not even really making an impact here.
Are you talking
with
about
the pit bulls?
Well, no, it's not that. It was like I'd love to have a dog again. I don't, so I kind of like going to the animal cruelty thing and taking the pit bulls out for a walk and stuff, and kind of having a dog for like an hour.
Yeah,
but I can't even really get in there and do that. But I've done things in the past. I worked with Beds, which was a homeless organization for suburban homeless people.
Oh,
I did
really?
That for like 2 years.
You got their number? I may need that at some point.
I can actually take you right to one of their facilities.
Fabulous.
So I did that for like 2 years where I would work in the homeless shelter and do like an overnight watch while the people were sleeping.
Which is more exciting, watching people sleep at a homeless shelter or watching a protest?
Oh, come on. No contest.
Okay.
Let's be real here.
Did you ever take a shank off of any of the residents?
No, I never really had to even deal with that because I would do overnight. So they were already asleep at that point.
Mm. So was it weird that you kept volunteering for shower watching duty?
No, they didn't mind at all.
Oh. And so you've done some things.
I've done some things, but I've never found that issue where I feel, okay, I see this wrong and I'm going to stay on it until it's right. I'm going to be there for someone outside of myself continually on this issue. And I kind of look at the protesters and I think like, okay, well, what are they getting out of it? And with these protests in particular over Laquan McDonald and police brutality, being the larger scope of it,
mm-hmm.
you're really seeing more. It's not just people from poor black areas who are coming out to this protest. You're seeing, like, you can do a screenshot of any of these news stories, and there are as many, if not more, white people in these protests. Like, it's you're seeing white and black and Mexican and Asian. Like, everybody's getting involved in this. And I think it's good that the city sees that everybody is going, hey, we think this is a problem. This needs to be addressed. But when I'm watching it, even though I'm looking for that mm-hmm. crackling energy,
yeah.
at the same time, there's always something that just sounds, when people can't see you make the face and do it, it just sounds weird.
It does sound kind of
just the sound.
Like you get a sexual gratification from protests.
Yeah.
Weird, man.
You need to stop that. No, don't. That's you making that noise. Don't put that on me. That's your own weirdness. But when I'm watching this stuff, I also, there's a part of me that's like, oh, so you're laying down in front of City Hall for 16 minutes. What the hell is that going to do? But I'm like, well, what does that say about me that I'm looking at these other people standing up and saying something and be like, oh, look at you with your voices.
Your right to assembly guaranteed by the Constitution.
And
look at you.
Yeah. So I kind of am thinking, what does that say about me that I don't do that sort of thing? Like, I agree. What happened with Laquan McDonald, it's a problem. And I don't think that was a one-off incident.
No.
I think it's a real, genuine, institutional problem. And I'm glad that people are saying something about it and, you know, kind of creating that environment where our leadership sees that. But I don't feel...
But you don't feel strongly enough about that to join in, even though you're right there.
Yeah.
Watching.
I don't know. Like, even stuff, you know me, I don't own a gun. I hate guns. You know,
it was everything I could do to get you to pose for a picture once with an unloaded one.
Yeah, you didn't have what's the little thing with the boom cartridges inside? Is that a cartridge? Is that a magazine? With a little boom pellet holder? What is that thing called?
Yeah, we'll go with boom pellet holder.
Yeah, you have to take that thing out before I'd even hold it. But, like, I can even watch something like San Bernardino or Sandy Hook, and people are really upset about that and really want to talk about immigration, and they want to talk about guns and guns in America. And I can just honestly say, like, in my soul, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, it doesn't hit home for you. It hasn't, even though it's in your neighborhood, it didn't happen to anyone you know. You can't, look, we can't get into the Laquan McDonald story, honestly, I believe, because we see Laquan McDonald, as much as the media wants to show us, pictures of him, apparently a high school graduate. They insist on showing one picture of him, and it's in a mortarboard in his gown. The other enduring visage of Laquan was him running down the street with a knife in his hand. So I can't relate to that on any level. And I think a lot of people, like from Bartlett, we don't see ourselves as Laquan McDonald ever. We don't see anyone in our family as that. So I'm not saying that people are making the assessment he had it coming, but they kind of are. they kind of are like, yeah, there's some culpability there on some sub or under the surface conscious level. People are saying, yeah, you kind of put yourself in a bad spot there, son.
Right. But at the same time, though, you're seeing a lot of people from all different walks of life getting involved in the in this protest. And I'm putting their voices out.
Which I have a theory on.
And
my theory is those are people that are latching onto it who hate Rahm Emanuel and hate Anita Alvarez. They're from disparate groups who see an opportunity to get those two out. I'm not convinced that all of the protesters are there because of police brutality in Englewood. I think that there are lots, when you have a protest, there are lots of ulterior motives at play. And I have another theory that the police and even maybe the feds sprinkle in some of their undercovers as part of the protesters to kind of keep it under control.
Yeah,
those are the dudes in the Guy
theory.
Fawkes masks, dude. That's why they never act out. Those are all cops.
I don't know. I don't think that's the case, but I do think...
You wait until, like, in Area 1 headquarters, there's a room full of Guy Fawkes masks.
That is just really... a closet. Go in there one day and you open up the door and they just come sliding out through the hall.
Right, right.
No, I mean, that is an interesting theory that you have, that you have some people... In the political structure or the police structure that kind of get embedded with the protesters, like, hey, let's go over here and let's go over there. And the police are kind of prepared and they're kind of being led down a primrose protesting path. Mm. That is interesting. I can't completely kick that idea out.
Wait till Neil Steinberg writes about it in the Sun-Times.
Then it's real.
Then it'll be validated.
Right. Then it will be real. No, but it's one of those things though where I'm just talking about myself, though.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I have a... I mean, I guess in one sense you're saying, well, you don't see yourself in Laquan McDonald. And I don't. But I do see myself as a citizen... And a citizen who can be directed into a degree controlled by police authority.
Mm-hmm.
So it is concerning when police can act out in this manner and that institutionally they're protected. So why don't I feel stronger about it? I can only think of one thing that I really feel when I see it, I get mad.
The spirit of Oprah is taking over me right now. The phrase, "What is your Selma moment?" is coming to mind.
What is my Selma moment?
What would get you off the couch in a real way?
Yeah.
It's Jones and Mike.
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. We'd love it if you would share Jones and Mike. We've made it very, very simple for you to do that. You don't have to lead a protest. You don't have to go to a protest and observe a protest. You don't have to do any of those things. Go to our website. Go to share.jonesandmike.com and do the checklist and let people know on Facebook about this show and subscribe to it on iTunes. It's all right there. And we'll give you a prize. We'll give you like Jones's face as Che Guevara on a t-shirt.
That would be awesome.
Viva la Jones and Mike.
Revolution. Oh my God, that's a great idea.
You would look good as Che. You'd have to grow your hair out a little bit.
I could do that.
Che with salt and pepper.
Well, I've got that now too, so.
So, if you, what's your Selma moment then, Jones? If you have one, apparently it's not police brutality. It's not.
I can see these stories and I can talk about them and I can talk about them and kind of couch it and present it in that like considered opinion. Uh-huh. Even like I mentioned with Sandy Hook or San Bernardino, if I'm talking to you and I'm outraged, if I'm being honest with you, if you see that for me, I'm feigning that. I was lying. And it's not like I didn't. It's not like I don't care. I go, oh, those people died. Whatever. That's stupid. Move on. It was just I would be honest with you. I didn't feel compelled to like hop on Facebook and be like, guns today. Why? Like mm-hmm. I just it didn't grab me. I was just like, oh my God, that's like, what a crazy story. And I followed it, but it didn't hit me any more than that. The only thing where I get upset and I'm like, gee dash dash damn it, gosh darn it, it just bothers me to no end.
Uh-oh.
When people are shot in drive-by shootings that have nothing to do, when it's a mistaken identity, or they were just some 9-year-old girl just jumping rope in front of her grandmother's house and they're trying to shoot up the house next door and a couple bullets still fly across and hit some 9-year-old girl and kill her instantly in front of her mother.
Like, that upsets you.
It just drives me nuts. This woman who is a model, 20-year-old, she just signed a contract with like some company in New York and like her life was getting turned around. She lived in Evanston, went to visit family in Kenwood, and then she was shot because someone was trying to pick off some other idiot gangster. Yeah. She's walking out of her aunt's house or something like that. That stuff, I get so...
That upsets you for like the day.
Peeved about it.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's one of those things where, no, I can still think about it now. And I definitely, for whatever reason, I feel like more emotionally pissed about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like I would like Sandy Hook. Like Sandy Hook is this crazy incident that I can talk about at a bar with someone, but it doesn't emotionally grab me. Where there's something about
what I think it would if it happened in Park Ridge.
Well, right, but at the same point, like why, you know, if I'm upset about this model, like how many black female models do I know? Like what connection do I have
Not
to her?
Not enough, if you ask me.
Well, true, but. I still look at that and I'm like, you SOBs, like they're like, but at the same point, then I look at this, I look at that scenario and I'm like, okay, well, like what do I want in that? I want gangbangers to become better shots. Like we give them shooting lessons. Like,
sounds logical.
I don't know. But yeah, so I don't know what the call to action is on that.
Well, so a flager goes, I'm going to go and lead a protest at Chuck's gun shop because
his solution,
I'll say this, at least that is a solution. My solution is that guns are coming into Chicago from these, from Northwest Indiana gun shops, from suburban gun shops, and they're being, it's straw man purchases. So, you know, like I go in, I buy 4 guns for Mike Noonan, then I go on the streets, I sell them to gangbangers. So his solution is to shut down the gun shops. I would prefer, seeing how that hasn't kind of worked, I would prefer that he get up on the pulpit, and maybe he does, I kind of doubt it. I would prefer that Flager get up on the pulpit every Sunday and preach personal responsibility, nuclear families, not having children out of wedlock, parents being tuned in. I would rather that
completely.
Be the solution.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you that is part of the solution. But I'm, you know, let's get back to what's important on this topic. Me. I'm not going to go through the streets of Kenwood and Bronzeville.
Yeah, like the Blues Brothers with a giant
right,
speaker
yes.
on your car.
In my Toyota Avalon. Preaching.
People.
Yes. Preaching, please. Hey, black fathers, let's get on it. you know.
No, stop getting on it first.
No.
But if you are going to get on it,
and stay on
home.
It. Yes. Yeah, whatever. Stay on the couch.
I get off my couch, so you will get on your couch more often.
Right. Yes. I'm not going to do that.
Well, yeah. I think that that is why there's a problem.
I do too. I do too. But...
And hey, and I bring this up, and people are like, wow, that's racist. I'm like, how is
no,
it racist
not.
For me to want
no,
fathers
not.
To be around, man?
No, it's
hey,
not.
I'll
how
say
is that?
This. Well, I know. That's why I get crazy, and I want to lead a protest about it. I'll say this. Out in Naperville, there are dads in houses, but they're not in houses. They're not checked in. They're not dialed into their kids. Their kids are bratty. Their kids are insolent. Their kids are...
Churlish.
They're churlish and insubordinate. Those dads are not dialed in. So even when you have a dad and a mom, but if the parents are, like, you know, on their phone the whole time, that's not doing the kid any good either.
Well, but it's still...
And we're seeing the effects of it out there with a heroin problem. So, hey, that gets me kind of riled up. And it makes me want to make an impact because it's close to my home. It doesn't have anything to do with Area 1. I don't care what happens at Bartlett. I don't. I care what happens on my block, in my subdivision, and in my neighborhood. And so if Sandy Hook happened at my kid's school, I'm getting activist about it.
Okay, but wouldn't that be...
So don't beat yourself up that you're not kind of getting, you know...
I get,
nothing's really hit that close to home for you.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, so I'm absolving you of your sins of not being socially activist enough.
Yeah.
Because I don't really know how you, as a non-father, I don't even know how you have any credibility in that.
I wouldn't, and it's funny, I thought I had the exact same thought about an eighth of a second before you said it. That's weird. Because that's the thing, like even if, because I really do get upset about that drive-by shooting crap, but I really can't come from a space where I can really speak about that.
So
with authority,
it seems like people in this city, in the country, they feel like they don't have a voice. And I got to agree, I don't really know how you have a voice. Hey, if Anita keeps her gig, if Rom keeps his gig, especially after his little cryy, little, you know, I feel strongly about your children. No, you don't, dude. No, you don't.
No,
nobody
yeah,
buys that.
Come on.
I have a feeling they're going to keep their gigs and see it to the end. So how can people feel like they have a voice? Everyone's lined up against this Trump character, and he brings it on himself. He's a douche on many levels. But I think it's perfectly reasonable if the feds say that, hey, the visa program let in a couple of terrorists, I think it's reasonable for a candidate running for the president of the United States to say, hey, maybe we should suspend the visa program for people coming from these countries that... We're apparently having a problem vetting. We'll suspend it until we improve the system, and then we'll restart it again. Everyone jumps up in arms and says, oh, it's racist. And it feels like, well, it feels like a significant portion of the country agrees with that.
Yes.
On some level.
It's 57%.
But it looks like, hey, man, they're already saying there's going to be a brokered convention, which means that the Republicans will just go, cool, you got all the votes in the primaries. We're not going to go with that. You guys actually don't have a voice. You don't. Which so people do feel kind of powerless. And so I predict you'll be seeing a hell of a lot more protests than you do now, which I'm not looking forward to. But I think you're getting aroused at the thought of that.
Oh, just for the crackle alone.
Engorge may be the word.
Yes.
Are there any issues you feel voiceless on where you feel like, man, no matter what we do, we cannot get anywhere? Because I'll say this, every reason to. Black folks have a reason to feel like they don't have a voice. And so as much as I don't want people like jumping on the cosmetic counter at Macy's, I'm all for these protests. Get your voice back.
But wouldn't it then, if you really felt that way, wouldn't you lending yourself, this is going back to you and I going, okay, well, why don't we do this stuff? Wouldn't you then also lending your voice to it carry a certain amount of weight.
No, I feel like they have a grievance. I don't particularly feel like I have that grievance.
Well, not...
But for example, I'm anti-war, but I'm not out leading anti-war protests. I'm anti-Syrian intervention and nation-building and American adventurism and imperialism. You put whatever term you want on it. I'm against all of those things. But I don't grab a megaphone and go out in Naperville and be like, come on, who's with me, people? And on some level, I do kind of criticize myself for not doing that. I'm kind of waiting for someone else to organize it, and then I'll go.
Yeah, so why, that's the thing. Like, yeah. Why are we that, why are you and I that way?
We're not alone, man. It's everybody, we're just looking at our, and I, hey, concentrate on your four walls and your block. And hope for the best. That's kind of how we're all kind of making it. We're faking it till we make it in that way.
But is that enough?
Is that enough? Now you're challenging me to lead an anti-war protest.
Well, here's the thing, though. Okay, let's go back again. Let's focus on what matters, me. Wouldn't it be, could you think of something more powerful, at least in terms of Brian Jones accomplishing anything, mm-hmm. than if I did suddenly kit up a speaker on top of the Avalon and drive up and down Bronzeville mm-hmm. and Kenwood.
Yeah.
And I started doing the, like, families, let's keep it together. Dads, get off the street and get home to your children. Like, if I started doing that, just rolling around block to block, I would be dead by Tuesday.
Sweet Allah.
I would be
dead.
Beg
of you.
But
please let Jones do this.
If I did that, though, there would be some level of news coverage, don't you think, by the end of the week? For as much as we've done this show for 2 years, the end result has been we're on an internet radio station.
Hey.
And we've had one. No, I'm just being honest. And we've had one guest host spot. On the terrestrial
station. On a real
stick.
Station.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, we were on for a couple weeks. Yeah, that's right. We were on for a couple weeks in Evanston at like a barely radio station.
Yeah, I don't know why that matters.
But what I'm saying is we put all this work in, and where did our voice go? Now, if I were to put the speaker on top of the Avalon and go up and down those streets on the south and west side, spitting out all that verbiage.
Yeah.
That would get them. That would get people to talk.
Especially after you were martyred.
I think so. I think at some point, I think I'd be dead by Tuesday.
Yeah, you would. Well, the Reverend Cory Booker slept on the roof of a building for like a month to get his point out. And now look at him. He's on Governor Rauner's payroll. So you too can make this work, Jones.
Why don't we?
Find your Selma moment. I can't wait to see it. Rock Robot has a Chicago band up next. You got to hear this. Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I've found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Hello, this is the Jones and Mike Rock Robot. Every week I tell you what tunes are righteous and which are steaming piles of dung. Rock Robot analyzed the debut album from the Chicago Quartet, The Kickback, and selected this single for your listening pleasure, Sting's Teacher Muse. that strange teacher used, as in missing from the police. Of course you knew he was an elementary school English teacher named Gordon Sumner? Don't lie. You did not. The Kickback's first full-length release is called Sorry All Over the Place, and, on it, Rock Robot detects elements of The Killers and The Strokes, and even a touch of Kings of Leon and Tom Petty, especially in the vocals. While Rock Robot concludes this album is more like a seed that could sprout into a great tree rather than greatness itself, Rock Robot predicts you will be seeing more from this band in the months and years ahead. Of course it helps that you dumb human rockers kill yourselves with drugs with great regularity, so new bands are constantly needed to fill the void. You stupid, stupid humans. Check out all of Rock Robot's reviews and submit tracks for me to analyze at jonesandmike.com/rockrobot. Keep on rocking in the free world, my little pet humans. Rock Robot out, bitches.
It's Jones and Mike. So salty. He's so salty.
That's what makes him great.
Another Chicago band here, Naked Ray Gun. Love them. Still playing. I think they played up in Milwaukee recently, Jones.
How recently?
Like within the last couple of weeks.
Oh, really? Okay.
And the Riot Fest Bitchin' Camaro was stolen from outside the Cobra Lounge on Ashland.
When?
This week.
I just drove by the Cobra Lounge last night. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, probably in a chop shop as we speak. Ugh. But these things happen.
They do.
Yeah, so unfortunately, I wonder, you know, maybe this will drive the Riot Fest out of business. Maybe they'll say, you know what? It's not worth it. You people are ingrates. You people are ingrates.
That's what you really want.
I don't want that. I want to go see it at Douglas Park next year. Last year's lineup really didn't appeal to me.
No, it was pretty soft. I agree with you.
So the layered outfit. Can I expect that there will be more layered outfits forthcoming from you in the hours and days to come?
The hours and days to come.
As a great uncle that you are not a great uncle, you are an impeccable
superb uncle.
Uncle, yes. Yes. You always are so generous with your Christmas gifts, birthday presents, and so forth with my children. And you go the extra mile in that you specifically pick out layered outfits for my children.
I have. I've done that on several occasions.
And we would never dress them that way. So when you see my children dressed to the nines, it's because Gub gave it to them. Gay Uncle Brian came through yet again.
Why is it? It's amazing how you just get knocked around when you put thought into something.
Like it would
if
be.
Here's the funny thing. If I just went around like just an idiot dude, I'd get respect. But the fact that I put thought into things gets me knocked around.
That's right.
It's ridiculous.
It's your Selma moment. And
it's
so
ridiculous.
No, it would be way easier just to go, okay, buying for a boy, there's a Spider-Man thing, cool, done. That's how most people go about it, including myself.
No, once they got to an age, you're saying I bought them layered outfits. I bought them for the girls because girls like clothes. For the boys, I bought them baby clothes when they were babies. But once they were old enough to know, hey, I'm getting a gift, I've always bought them gifts. Like toys, like things that they can use and play with. So I've never been, I want to be clear about that.
You've gotten some layered, and hey, I love it because
since Dom was able to open up a gift and know it was for him, when have I bought him clothes?
No, for girls. You've done it for the girls.
Because they're girls.
And we've appreciated it. Yes.
And they like that.
It's
and
very
I mainly,
sexist, yes.
And well, but it's appreciated. It's not sexist if it's appreciated.
No, we love it.
And Grace.
We do not dress them as well as you do.
But even still. I would even down to when it got to your daughters, Elise is not so much a clothes girl as Grace is. So Grace, I would always still buy clothes for because she's into that. She would change her outfits 2 or 3 times a day.
Yeah, I fully expect that you will be asked to help her pick out her prom dress.
I can't wait.
That's right.
No, I'm kidding. So I want to just be clear about that. Now, going into this week, Christmas shopping, and for two of your kids, additionally, birthday shopping season.
Oh.
So with your daughter turning 13, and I have both birthday and Christmas responsibilities, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to bite the bullet on this. I can't pretend to understand her for, say, the next 7 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she really wants. And I always like to try to avoid just the, here's the cash, here's the gift card. But with a girl, 13-year-old girl, between like 13 and 19, 20, I'm not really going to know what's going on. So I was like, I'll just do the gift card thing. She'll love that anyway. It's not going to matter.
You're not wrong.
So I reached out to your wife earlier this week.
Watch it.
And come on now. Not like you'd even care. I reached out to your wife earlier this week and I asked, like, hey, you know, what do the kids want? You know, whatever. And give me some tips or kind of lead me down a particular path. So she told me two stores for a lease, and one was Aeropostale, and one was Pink.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, cool. I'll go to the mall. I'll wander around. I'll buy all my gifts for all the kids and all that stuff. And while I'm doing that, I'll stop in those stores and I'll get gift cards. So I went into Aeropostale. As soon as I went in there, it's got this like preteen, early teenager vibe. They got the music going. It was kind of cute. It was like, oh, Elise is this age. I can't remember. She's
crazy.
Little,
yeah.
She's a little baby and now she's this age. And, you know, they're all kind of buzzing around and like, I don't know, in Justin Bieber land or whatever these kids were all about. It's just kind of cute. And like they have the jeans and they're like faded in certain parts. And then the like these there's no way I could buy. You always talk like you're saying I buy outfits for them. I was like, I looked around and there was like some like vest, but it looked like it was made like out of squirrel fur and like just crazy looking. I was like, I can't know what is good in this and what's bad.
Yeah.
So I just got in line, went through the line, bought the gift card, and it was like, it was this cute thing. And it was, although it was funny, I have to say at the end of it, the person, they're just programmed to say this stuff. Like, would you like to open up an Aeropostale gift card?
Save 10% on today's purchase.
And I was like, I can pretty much guarantee you this is going to be my only purchase here for the next 10 years or however long this store is.
It would have been cool if you like sniffed really deeply, like, oh yeah, I'll be back here again.
Right. Yes. I thought about that. I was like, almost if a dude comes in with like no kids and like wants to open up a card, there should be like a trap door. And it's just like, and then you just go right to the authorities.
Something
like,
about a teen and tween store called Pink.
Right. No, well, this was Aeropostale. This next was Aeropostale.
Next to a protest, nothing arouses me more.
No, this was Aeropostale. So that's, they asked the question there, and I was like, yeah, there should be a trap door if someone's like, yeah,
yeah,
I want to open up an Aeropostale card. Yeah. So whatever, I make my purchase, go about my day. Then I'm walking by, and it was funny. I saw these two other stores, and they had, like, pink lights. I'm like, oh, that's got to be it. And I walked in, and it wasn't. And I was like, oh, where is this store? So finally I find it. I walk in.
They have directories in these places, you know?
No, they really don't. I was looking for them. I was in Orland Mall, and they really don't.
They're usually, like, in front of an Anchor store. So in Orland, you would go to, like, Sears.
You think, but I think they've torn them down. I think I wouldn't be shocked that if you start going to malls now and you don't see them because they want you wandering around.
Oh, kind of like a convenience store or putting the milk in the back.
That's what I looked for. I looked for those directories. I wanted to get
in and out.
Yes. No, I couldn't find the directory. So I have to go into. So I find Pink. I get there. Now, that was a different vibe completely. I don't know how you're going to make it through the next couple years.
Oh, really? Like, they had, like, Pink-branded IUDs at the register?
They may as well have.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
So I walked in there, and the vibe was completely different. You know, there's this school of thought that girls are trained, some of them, they pick up on a vibe that boys are intimidated by smart girls. So you want to play dumb so you can get a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the theme of this store.
Oh,
the
God.
Theme of this store is you need to be a dumb whore. I'm in line and as soon as I saw, like, now the outfits were way different. Now, they had some little, like, hoodie sweaters, and as soon as I saw that, I'm like, that's what Elise is going to come in and get, that she's still the, like, hoodie sweater girl. But, dude, the rest of this stuff in this store, it was, like, panties with, like, hashtag Elfie, like just this like weird stuff
Christ
on
sakes.
It.
Really?
And like all these like bra and panty combos, and they have these like flat screen TVs. And this isn't for like adult women. This is for still young girls, but they have like all these flat screen TVs everywhere. And they have like these 21, 22, 23 year old girls like doing all these like backflips and like cartwheels.
What?
And like, oh yeah, in lingerie. And then like they would do like.
They were in lingerie doing cartwheels?
And they're like, doing like backflips. And then they would land and like kind of shake into one another. Like
what?
Just being idiot.
Where's the store again?
Broads. It's in Orland Mall. I can't point it out to you. There's no directory. You have to work for it.
Oh my God.
So I'm in line, and there was a part of me where it's like, Jill told me to buy from here.
But should I? She may not know, man.
So
she sent you to a store that sells pasties, and she doesn't even know.
Well, I don't know that they were.
Talk about not being dialed
pasties.
In.
It was like panties and like the. But it was like.
Did we just lose like, the word panties when we're talking about my teen daughter? Please.
No, please. We can't because this is the here's another thing that then gets under my skin. If we're talking about issues that get under my skin, you talk about people who are like child molesters and everybody goes, let's change the topic. It's like, no, it's happening.
All right. So this is your Selma moment.
This is another Selma moment.
We need to protest
panties for teenagers.
Yes. Yeah.
It's crazy.
You're going commando in my house.
It is crazy. So I'm in line. And I'm thinking to myself, like, do I buy this? Don't I buy this? But the mother told me to buy this, and I saw hoodies that just say pink. So clearly that's what Elise is going to buy, and I'm just going to go forward with this. So it was insufferable to sit in this line. Like, I always thought, like, if I had kids, I'd like to have a daughter. I think it's cute, the father-daddy thing. I think there's – I kind of dig that. But I'm looking at that and I'm thinking like, oh my God, this teenager thing, it has to be utter misery. I go through the line and it was weird though, I have to say, two of the cashiers were these like young Muslim girls and they had like the hijabs on. And I was like, God, that's weird that you guys would be working here. I mean, I guess you guys have to buy this stuff too.
Judge Munch?
No, but I mean... If you isn't the whole thing about Islam, like you're putting your
modesty.
Women out and they're covered and you're modest and yet you're standing in front of these flat screen TVs where like these bimbos are like doing backflips. It was just weird. I was like, God, that's weird. I wasn't like, you should be out of here.
Yeah.
But I was thinking to myself, God, that is strange. It's like when you see like an extremely obese person working at like a Foot Locker. It's like, that's weird.
Yeah, unexpected, sure.
Unexpected, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything more than unexpected.
Were they in like pink garb outside of their hijabs?
Not that I could see. But I wasn't, at that point, I really hit the get in, get out process. I'm making my purchase and I'm leaving.
You're starting to kind of flop sweat. You're like, this is kind of making me feel kind of weird.
Here's the thing. So that I make my purchase, I get out, I go home. And then that day I unload all the Christmas gifts and then I'm flipping through it. Flipping through like the receipts to make sure this is with that. I see Victoria's Secret. And I was like, wait a minute. Did I shop at a Victoria? Did I buy Elise a Victoria's Secret gift card? And then I didn't know that, like, I thought, I don't watch this stuff that closely. I didn't know that the pink lingerie line from Victoria's Secret had branched off into its own teenage theme store.
It's insidious.
Well, I thought pink, especially when Jill thought me there was like Lululemon or something. I didn't know. So
I
when
love
you purchase
know Lululemon, that's hilarious.
Well, I've never even bought anything from Lululemon, but I've heard the store. Athleta, I've never bought anything from there, but that's like women's apparel, right?
Yeah,
like sports apparel.
Lululemon's such a big thing in our house that we decided to screw with Elise on her actual birthday. We had a little bag or whatever, and we were like, we got you a little gift here. It's what you want. And she opened it up, and it was an actual lemon with a face drawn on it that we had called Lululemon. Just to mess with her. She died laughing, she was pissed because their stuff is like three times as much.
That's
money
what I hear.
As, yeah. So there's 0 points. So she wants everything to be from there. And it's like, no, dude, no, no.
Right. So
suck on a lemon.
I'm just
real lemon.
Telling you, like, dude, as a dad,
yeah,
how are you like that was just one day.
Oh, you're concerned
one purchase.
For me. You're concerned for my well-being.
Like, did you? Okay, so did you? Were you aware as a father that pink was the pink that was from Victoria's Secret?
No, no, and I haven't.
I'm glad to hear that.
I let my wife take care of these duties. I will have a very serious conversation about this, though, with her. I have gone to Lululemon, and it's funny that you mentioned like the people who work there, because it's like fitness apparel for kids, basically, this place. But the woman who was checking me out recently, ringing me up, she may have been doing the former, though. I don't know. I was buying some headbands for my kids to bring to some birthday party for some friends, right? And she was dressed like a 14-year-old who was going to Lifetime Fitness with her parents, but she was like 24. So she looked absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
Like she was made to wear the Lululemon stuff. And she kind of talked like, oh, those headbands are just so, they're so cool. And she kind of talked like a teenager. I was quite chagrined. Like, oh my God, this is like white slavery that I'm seeing here. That you guys make your cashiers. It's got to be tough to staff these places up, especially out in like Naperville. Like the kids don't work. So just don't. They do heroin and they talk with disrespectful tones. So
sounds like a nice life.
You got to find like 24-year-olds who want to work for $11 an hour. And then they got to squeeze their asses into the 13-year-old wear. So it can't be easy. But it's quite sad to see them have to do that. But I will be having a very stern conversation with my old lady when I get home.
I do. I have to say, though, I'm glad that you didn't know that pink was a break off from Victoria's Secret, because I relayed the same story at work. And the girls, other than nodding their head about the whole, some certain sections of young girls are getting the message, be a dumb whore. Their main thing was they were just shocked. Like, how could you? Oh, my God, Brian, that's embarrassing. You didn't know that pink was the pink that was associated with Victoria's Secret. I'm like, no. And to be honest with you, I don't think most guys would know that.
No, why would they know that?
Like, so I'm glad. Like, I was kind of like, oh, my God, am I really that much of an idiot? So you have daughters. You should maybe be on this stuff. And you didn't know that. I feel better. So thank you.
Yeah, when I think of pink, I think of a quasi-lesbian singer that they play on the mix, who sings, like, empowerment songs for girls and young women. I don't think of stores.
Well, you need to be, because I tell you what, something is out there. Something pink is out there, and it's not good.
Yeah, I don't... Just the name itself bothers me, obviously. My head's in the gutter, though, clearly.
It is, I know. And it's never coming out.
Pink equals stink, as far as I'm concerned. We need to protest this.
I'm so glad this is a podcast, because if it was a terrestrial radio show, we'd be out of work right now.
I'm firing myself.
You need to.